Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless this introduction in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Let's see verse 37. It's a remarkable verse. John 12:37. Apostle John is writing the gospel, and he knows that he has to end the public ministry of Jesus Christ. From chapter 13 onwards, it is Jesus and the 12 disciples, the upper room, 14, 15, 16, and then you have the prayer, and then you have Christ confronting the cross. And you almost want to ask Apostle John, what would you like to say about the public ministry of Christ? 3.5 years, a remarkable man, Son of God. How many likes he had, right? Apostle John says in verse 37, but though Christ had performed so many signs, before them, yet they were not believing in him. When I read that verse, my curiosity increased, and then I wanted to know, what are the likes, the largest number of, highest number of likes in Facebook in the world, right? So Facebook has a lot of likes. That is the largest number. And then you have Cristiano Ronaldo. He has a lot of likes. Then after that you have Shakira, right? What is the introduction about? It's about her? No. No, we are not partial hearers, right? I have a lot of remas in this message. And then you have Real Madrid, Christopher, it's not Manu. Real Madrid has a lot of likes. And then India-wise, you have, I don't know who is this man, Jojo Singh. And then you have Modi. And Christ did not have a lot of likes, right? The cross doesn't attract the world, if you have the worldly thoughts in you. And he had 12 likes in the inner circle, and then one person but clicked the button dislike. That is Judas, right? And then you had in the Pentecost about 120 likes. How do you like that number, right? Then, okay, at least a resurrection happened, then you will have a lot of likes. You know, Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, more than 500 people liked his ascension, right? So Christ never had a lot of likes in his 500 is a very small number, right? But it almost discourages us, like, you know, what is Christ, what did you do? And but it is the testimony of the scriptures. In verse 38 it says, how do you like that verse? He did not have many likes because this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? This verse 3 times appears in the Bible. If God has to say a verse 3 times, in the sense it has a paramount importance, right? Otherwise, why would he mention 3 times? Isaiah 53:1, you have John 12:38, and then Romans 10:16. Who has believed this morning message? And that is the testimony of the scriptures. For this reason, they could not believe For Isaiah says again in verse 39, He has blinded their eyes and He has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. It is not that, you know, suddenly you get a thought like, oh, God is in the business of hardening the heart of people. No. I wanted to learn what is this all about, God hardening the heart of people. And I went through, then I surprisingly found out that Pharaoh hardened his heart is one of a Greek word, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh is another Greek, another Hebrew word. These two are different Hebrew words. When God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the word is C-H-A-Z-A-H. God brought Pharaoh to a place where he would make a decision concerning God. He made his manhood at stake. You have a free will. He made his heart strong. You can't just like that say, I did not see and I can't escape. You have a free will. And then Pharaoh hardened his heart is to be insensitive voluntarily, to be heavy, to make my heart like a stone as if nothing has happened. Come on, 10 miracles. And then God writes that Pharaoh hardened his heart. What would God say? God can't lie, right? God is sealing that Pharaoh has hardened his heart. So if you turn back to this Isaiah chapter 6, this is Isaiah speaking, right? A man of God confronting a vision, and like all of us, soul winners. Yesterday we were in Jayanagar. I thought, okay, we were a big failure. Nobody took the track. One place, Agilesh was almost holding a person in the bike, and a guy like kind of did that, and then I have better job to do. Then he took the bike. I was thinking like, wow. Then later on I understood that God is in the business of warning the souls. When I harden my heart, and God writes, you have hardened your heart. He can't lie, right? Lord, who has believed our report? That was the cry of Isaiah. And look at Isaiah chapter 6. It's an amazing chapter. We have a finished work perspective. We derive a motivation to be a man of God, to be a soul winner, to be a preacher, to be a woman of God from this passage. It says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, in the year, you know, in terms of business, when you sell a product, right, you do the survey, and then if you get a better exposure for that and many likes, then you say, come on, this is the time to release the product, right? Business thinks like that. The mobile phone Jio, right? It has accumulated a customer database. It is like outstanding, all the other Airtel, everything, because they gave free internet. A lot of people liked. Now it is no longer going to be Jio. It is going to be Maro later. Maybe you can explain. You didn't get that, ma'am. You can ask Christopher. He'll tell you. He knows better Hindi. Okay. So you have a better perspective, then you release your product. Come on, it's going to go. But it is not the case in Isaiah chapter 6. God says that you are going to confront people who will not believe you. But I'm not like the worldly people. When you have many dislikes, I want you to be there. How do you like that? He is not one who is going only for the likes. He is saying that people will not receive Isaiah. You are not going to be a successful man if you look at in terms of the result from your perspective. But the result from my perspective is that I want you to be my messenger. That's it, over. If you have done that, 100% success. It is not about how many numbers you have. It's about doing the will of God. Was Christ a successful man? Yes. He did the will of God. Our message will not, of course, people that are needy will come. We will have a lot of, in this world, you will have many tribulations, right? The one who has rejected me. We see a different perspective. The motivation for us is the love of God. The motivation for us is not the likes. If the motivation is likes, Pastor Brian would have changed the message long time back. Probably we would have got the next property. 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. No. Christ and the cross is like that. John chapter 6 began with more than 5,000 likes, and towards the end you have 12 likes, and one of that is a devil. Many of the disciples followed him no more. John 6:66, 666, beautiful verse, because Christ introduced the cross. Look at here, it says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, in the year King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne. Wow, amazing. When there is an absent on the throne, earthly, sometimes when you encounter loss, you begin to see that, oh, Lord is seated on the throne, right? When we go through the losses in our lives, when we face, confront empty with, you know, emptiness in our lives, and we see, oh, Lord is seated on the throne. Lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. Only one time Seraphim is spoken about in Isaiah chapter 6. And the six wings are amazing. Two wings, with they cover their face. That speaks about their reverence. Like, no, 24 elders bowing down before God. And with two wings they cover their feet. That speaks about their humility. With the two wings they covered, they flew. That speaks about the swift in their service. What speed? Angels, right? And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Amazing. What did they say in the song? Two things. One, they spoke about the holiness of God. And then what did they speak about the earth? Lot of dislikes. No, that is Indian slang, English. The whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory. In Jayanagar, it was like that yesterday evening. In the first five chapters of Isaiah was like, woe unto you people, you don't like to receive the message. Lot of dislikes. I'm not a man of, But the way the seraphim see is totally a different thing. The whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory. Pastor Brian preached an amazing message on Wednesday evening. What God has said and what God is going to do. In that gap, we get confused. Then we kind of disheartened. But the seraphim were not like that. They were completely assured in the divine purposes of God that God would accomplish what he decided concerning the earth in respect to the human affairs. When they believed the end result of God, they don't have anything to say. The whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory. What a way to see what God has called us to do. If I hear and then I know that the Lord will come to pass, if I don't know that, in between I can get confused and I can even go away. This call is not from God. No, I want to go back. But the seraphim had a better understanding of the finished work. They had a better understanding of the divine purpose. They said, the whole earth is. Can we say, in the midst of the unbelievers, the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory? Yes, we can. Christ will be seated on the throne one day. The Israeli is going to see him as the Lord of righteousness. And then the foundations of the thresholds trembled in verse 4 at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. And then I said, woe is me. Wow. Woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. Whenever you see the glory, you see the glory in the fullness of grace and truth. Did you realize that? John 1:14. You saw, he is confronted with the glory, right? And the truth, holiness of it. I am the man ruined. I live in the midst of. And then look at the one of the seraphim says, now I'm going to pause for a while. I'll continue my song a little later. I have a work to do. And then look at in verse 6. One seraphim stopped singing and flew, and that is addition from Guru, flew to me and with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar. Can you imagine the altar is there? The altar speaks about the perpetual sacrifice through which God views the entire earth. The lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. That's how God sees you and me, as a finished work product. With a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs, and he touched my mouth with it and then said, behold, this has touched your lips and your iniquity is taken away. Profound pardon. And your sin is forgiven. Isaiah is released. You and I are released. Totally. Then I heard the voice of the Lord. The king seated on the throne has need for a messenger. Look at here. Whom shall I send? Did you notice that I? And who will go for us? A call from the Trinity. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The qualification of a messenger is that the messenger needs to be sent. Otherwise, God would not put that question, whom shall I send? You go by yourself. The second qualification of the messenger is the messenger should be available. Who will go for us? Who can be the authorized messenger for me? I want to send. Tychicus, I have sent. Crescens have taken by himself off to Thessalonica. I want to send, I want to authorize a person for me. Can you be the light for me? Will you be available for me? Look at Isaiah, changes the answer in his answer. I am available, Lord, then send me. Beautiful, right? He didn't answer, you send me, I will be available. Which means that the ministry of us is primarily before God being available. In that, everything else is get accomplished. He changes the answer. He puts the answer for the second question first and first question second. He said, I'm available. That's it. Over. You are the man. Finished. Seal. You send me, Lord. And then God says, Isaiah, you will have many dislikes. Is that fine? I still need you, right? Then God says, go and tell these people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. This verse is mentioned many times in the Bible. The Lord has a lot of times about this verse. John, I think I noted on Matthew 13:14, Mark 4:12, Romans 11:8, Luke 8:10, Acts 28:27, Isaiah 43, which means the Lord has a point to communicate to us. Otherwise, why would he say more than five times? Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of. I call you to a ministry of making people spiritually dull. Okay? That does not mean that I'm going to be like hardening. No, you are basically carrying the message of God. That's it. The rest is to me. But the condition which, how they respond to you, I know it. I'm telling you, lest you get disheartened. Your success is in obedience to my call, Great Commission. Were you there in the soul winning? Yes. Over 100%. How many people got saved? Now, that does not make my success rate. I think Elisha was very disheartened, right? He thought, God, nobody came. No. You have obeyed the Great Commission. That's it, over. Do you know how many number I have? No, you don't know. Don't get involved in all these things. Can you be my messenger? Can I send you? And then the chapter ends. Of course, he says about all the judgments and everything. Look at verse 13. Yet there will be a tenth portion in it, and it will again be subject to burning like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. God finishes the chapter in that way. His purposes will be accomplished. Now back to John chapter 12. I want to read one verse and then finish this portion. See here. It's an amazing chapter. How Apostle John puts it. Verse 35. No, these are all very important verses. Jesus said to them, John 12, 35. For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. Where did Isaiah receive the cleansing? In the light. And then look at this. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Very scary verse. I don't even know where I go in the midst of darkness. But if I'm in the light, I know that, Lord, my lips are ruined. Please cleanse me. And then Lord says, whom can I send? Who will go? I am available, Lord. And then he says, while you have the light, believe in the light. This is Christ. So that you may become sons of light. You see the other side of it, and at the same time he says that, no, don't try to expect a red carpet for the cross. It's not possible. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your portion, Lord. In your glory, we see the truth, full of truth and full of grace, a seraphim. Not only me being convicted that I am a man of a man with a ruined lips, but at the same time, you say your iniquity is taken away and your sin is forgiven. And then you say, whom shall I send? To be sent by you is the greatest ministry that we can have. But we say, oh, here I am, and we want to be available for you. And thank you for this ministry, especially Bangalore, the home base, Lord. We are in the business of sending people out, or training people out, and be with us and give us the place, ground floor, and enlarge our course, Lord. We pray for the school that we have, and pray that many more registration will take place, and the children would get to know you, Lord, in the young age. And give us a great year, 2017 ahead. We want to be available for you. In Jesus' name, amen.